For those of you listening, today I've got a real treat for you. This is Vishen Lakhiani. The person I'm going to be talking to today is called, his name is Gerald O'Donnell. He's one of the leading proponents in the world in the field of remote influencing. And I have to tell you this thing about Gerald. This is the third conversation I've had with Gerald that has been broadcast by the internet to thousands of people. The very first call I had with Gerald had something like 3,000 people listening in. The second call had 11,000 people. Basically, those 3,000 people got so addicted to what Gerald said, they were so impressed with the kind of ideas he put out, that word spread like crazy. Our second call actually had 11,000 listeners. And with this call, we're hoping to maybe push it past the 15,000 listener barrier. So why do all these people call in whenever I get on the phone with Gerald? Now, let me give you a quick idea of exactly who this man is, what he talks about, and what you're in for. Firstly, Gerald worked for several European agencies as a remote viewer. In other words, a psychic spy. But he left to start his own unique training system on the art of what he calls remote influencing. In fact, Gerald coined that word. And remote influencing, Gerald's going to define it more in a moment, but it's essentially a way of bending reality with your mind. Now, I know that seems a little bit out there, but bear with me, you're going to be in for a treat. Now, why should you be listening? Well, what Gerald is going to talk about today is why the world is in the state it is right now. Many of you know that a few years ago, a DVD called The Secret was released. And this DVD put out an idea, a thought pattern, rather, that everything that we think about, we attract into our reality. Now, if this was true, wouldn't our reality right now be one of happiness and joy and financial abundance? Given that so many people listened to The Secret, so many people heard about it on Oprah. But what we are seeing in the world today is an extremely different reality. We are seeing recession, we are seeing war, we are seeing a global financial meltdown. Gerald is going to help answer some of these questions and try to shed some light on what's going on in the world today. And he's also going to give you some concrete advice on how you can use your own creative power to help you function in today's reality. So let's hand the a mic to Gerald. Gerald, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Chishin?
I'm doing great, Joel. Where are you right now?
Right now, as I'm talking, I'm in Boca Raton.
First thing first, Gerald, can you define remote influencing?
Well, remote influencing is that you are able, through the act of mind, to influence reality across time and space.
Okay.
So basically, you're using your thoughts to influence reality, which is in reality based on thoughts. All of reality is created through thoughts. We explain that in on our website. If you download the remote influencing ebook, there is vibratory thought and there is non-vibratory thought. And what we consider to be the material world is a projection, a manifestation of vibratory thought, which is manifested as vibratory light.
And what about non-vibratory thought?
Non-vibratory thought is a level of thought which we humans don't have. We can't connect to that. It's called pure thought. And that's a level of intelligence which is really pertaining to, you know, the creator and sub-creators within the creator. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Joel, what you're saying now seems a little bit different from what many other gurus would say. I think a lot of personal development gurus say that we can indeed connect to the creator. So could you clarify that a little bit more?
Oh, yes, we can connect to the creator. But what happens with many of the gurus, as you say, I usually don't use the word guru because I said something about gurus. But when a being, after doing sometimes a lifetime of spiritual exercises or efforts reaches that level, what happens is that he finds himself usually in a field that he knows is totally sentient, but he cannot decode the field. In other words, his apparatus that would allow him to decode his reality is not sufficient to understand the thoughts that exist at that level. So what happens is that very often he has the perception, which is a wrong perception, that he's in the void and then there is no thought. And it's exactly the opposite. It's laden with thoughts, but these are thoughts that we as human, we're not giving the interface to be able to understand this gigantic level of intelligence and thought.
So are you saying that no matter how enlightened we get, we're going to hit a limit because our brains, at least while we're in a physical body, our brains will be unable to comprehend the illusion that is reality.
Yes. But understand that when you get enlightened, your brain, if you want, your brain is just a way of decoding reality, more than anything else, a way of decoding your material reality. Let's say your vibratory thought, your type of thought, as you ascend, connects to your higher self, which is a higher level of yourself that's already operating at the level of vibratory light, and that level can decode much more of what you could call pure thought. It can have an understanding of pure thought to some level, and then that level connects to a higher self, and there are, I wouldn't say an infinite amount of levels, but there are quite a large amount of levels. You know, in physics they call these dimensions. In the metaphysical realm they also call these dimensions, and these dimensions are really basically infinite. So you connect to these levels, and then you get a higher perception of thought. When you really work yourself out of this world, if you want, you can still stay in it. You are sometimes, and it's very rare, but you sometimes gifted a different brain, a higher brain, if you will. And when you get that different brain, then you are able, with your brain, to decode different types of reality at this level too.
That's deep, Gerald. So here's my question then. You mentioned multiple dimensions.
Right.
How would one, is it possible for someone to move through different dimensions?
Yes, of course. We do this all the time anyway.
We do this all the time? Who is we?
Well, any one of us.
Could you explain further?
In order for us... Mm-hmm. Well, yes. In order for us to perceive our reality, you have to interact with three elements here. You have to interact with your higher self, which is your real self, the part that stays with you when you pass away, so to speak. And you have to interact with what I used to call the matrix. You could call this the earth if you want, which is the interface that connects all the realities which form human realities together. So we have a playground to play with, and stories to tell, and then challenges to overcome. So this interaction allows for us, who are the players here, we really are the players in creation, to be able to have an input, a creative input, so that we can improve upon our lives and improve upon the planet. Mm-hmm. And the key to be able to go to a higher level is not so much to, you know, that's what's missing really in all the manifestation courses. Is quite easy. I tell people to look at a triangle. Mm-hmm. If you consider the horizontal plane in a triangle as being yourself and the one across in perception, right?
Yeah.
You have to unite the perception of you and the one across being part of the same, but expressing itself in different ways. In other words, a man will express itself in a different way than a woman, or two people will express their life, their reality in different ways because they are across from each other in perception.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't perceive the point that connects both of them above. You follow? But in reality, the key to be able to unite with the person across is to get the perception that you are part of that same being, if you want to call it the creator. I don't want to use God because then we're going to religion.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want the infinite intelligence, this is easier on people, or the infinite universe.
Mm-hmm.
We are part of this one unique being, and we are embodied within it. You know, like different cells are embodied in the body, and they all do their things. And we all have a role. Each one has a role. And our role, and the whole secret to solving the problem of creation, is not to focus on the polarity across so much as to focus on the unity point that you really carry within yourself. That unity point, everyone has the same unity point because it's one. It cannot be two. So we all carry within ourselves a level of mind, a level of an energy that is the same point. And that is our connecting point to each other. And now we don't need space. We don't need time. We don't need anything. If we connect to that point, we feel we're one. And then our behavior changes and our perspective changes, and we approach higher dimensions. Because at that level, this level transcends all dimensions.
Okay. So let's
and it's highly intelligent, of course. Yes.
So let's talk about a practical example. So we can try to understand this concept, because what you're saying is deep, it's profound. But for the benefit of the listeners out there, I want to try to put it in a practical example so people can try to grasp this profound idea. Let's say you have a partner and you want to move to Jamaica. Your partner wants to move to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now both of you have these visions of the future that you want to bring into your reality. You do not want to drift away from your partner, but you both have different, you want to stay together, but that's where the visions change. In terms of location, you both have different visions. Can you explain in this situation how one could attempt to reconcile these realities? Or do we split into two alternate dimensions?
I'm sorry, no, I lost you. You mean we split into two? What do you mean by splitting into different dimensions?
Okay, well, let me give you an example. I was having a conversation with Neil Donald Walsh. Neil Donald Walsh, of course, is the author of Conversations with God.
Yes.
7.5 million books. Now, I asked Neil this question.
Yes.
I said, what would happen on November 4th? And Neil said, well, the universe would split into two. The McCain supporters, those who at a soul level choose to move into a McCain universe, whether they support him or not, would move into a McCain universe. Certain people at a soul level would choose to live in an Obama universe. They would end up in an Obama universe. So at this point, there would be a huge, there would be a branch in the fork of reality, and two alternate universes would be created. Now, I don't know if you agree or disagree with this, but I'm wondering if the same explanation can be used to describe how two people who are partners but with opposing wants can reconcile their wants. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
In that particular question that you're asking, that's a little more. Creation operates. It's a little more complex than that. You know, creation for most people, if they are interacting together at a very close level, their vibratory rate. Mm-hmm. Of expression, if you want. If you were to go to the other side, what physics calls the quantum or the superluminal side, which we don't perceive here. We only see the manifestations of it. Mm-hmm. But they know in physics it exists. So if you were to go on the other side, the particle of light that you represent and that other person represents would be most probably vibrating at a similar vibratory frequency, because you're interacting so closely. The same thing happens with a couple. Mm-hmm. You'll notice when couples get together and they get married after a couple of years, not only do they start thinking in the same way, but even the physical characteristics merge, and they walk the same way and they look the same way.
Right.
Because their field, if you want, their morphogenic field is merging, and they're vibrating in unison, if they're a good couple, as a matter of fact. So this happens with any kind of relationship. Now, we all have free will. Mm-hmm. And you're right in saying that, you know, what happens if they want? Well, it depends on their free will. What they can do, though, if they are high beings and they understand how to connect to their inner core, they can connect to that inner core and get guidance as to, would that be a great choice for me to split, you know? So our universes are going to split. Or should we stay together? But there are better choices, because they're more creative. They bring more joy and happiness. Mm-hmm. But there are no real bad choices. You know, life is about choices. That's all there are, is choices. Uh-huh. But sometimes when two universes that were so close split, they might not stay in the same vibratory hum. One might stay on a higher vibratory hum, and the other one might just go on a lower vibratory hum. Mm-hmm. So, and this is what he was trying to explain with the Obama people. I don't think that there are really two main universes created like that, but I think that some groupings of people that are following a lower vibratory hum are going to experience different realities pertaining to this, because they're still in a very they're not part of universes that I want to unify or bridge across. See, the whole key is the one, and the one is about bridging across and unifying. Mm-hmm. And the old universe is about polarity and separation. So if you stay in a polarized universe, your vibratory hum goes very low, and then you cannot manifest reality so easily just by thought alone. You're stuck having to do it by what we call logic, activity, and you get very, very little inspiration from that higher level of intelligence, mm-hmm. called a level closer to the one, because that's the only way we get inspiration and we get real science and real technology anyway. Mm-hmm. We don't invent anything. Nobody ever invented anything. It's impossible.
Okay.
It's within the one. It siphons down. It's like it's sent down. You understand?
So
we can process with inspiration.
So, Gerald, are you saying that in this scenario, the larger group of humanity moves into a consensual reality which is the reality we are in right now, where Obama has won the election? But are you saying that there's also a subset of humanity that, for whatever reason, whether at the soul level or conscious level, chose to move into an alternate reality where McCain is president?
It's not necessarily an alternative reality. It's a different level of the mind. See,
okay.
When we consider one mankind, mm. okay, that operates in a coordinated story, so one creation,
uh-huh.
that mankind, at the level of the higher beings, is considered to be one being, not many, one being.
Right.
And all the parts of that mankind form that being. It's like a family is made out of its constituents,
uh-huh.
you know,
right.
to their parts. And it's through the action of those parts, all the humans, that position themselves differently, do different things, group themselves in different way, that whole being, that whole family, if you want, evolves.
Mm-hmm.
Either in a very positive way or devolves in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's through that particular action. And then the whole goal, if you want, what is called sometimes the Adamic being, you know, the big Adamic being, which is really one being. It's not many, it's one. We're still uh-huh. within Adam. So that, or the Atman, you know, in the Hindu lore. So that whole being is still evolving, having all the parts of itself, or if you want, its cells, you know, if we consider we are cells in this gigantic being, operating, unifying, creating, bringing new systems of operation and then being co-creators within this. So yes, there are constantly movements within that being. Some parts disconnect and go to a lower hum because they're still in polarity. The parts that are going within unification go to a higher hum. If there are more groupings going to a higher hum because they're going through the unity point,
mm-hmm.
because at the highest level of Adam there is unity,
mm-hmm.
then the whole being starts unifying and being able to operate in unity, and you get higher level of inspiration for science, which with more unifying types of technologies that are not polluting, that bring people together, higher level of inspiration for economies and finances that will not discriminate or having destructive competition involved in it. It will be only constructive competition. You get totally different worlds created because it's automatic, because you get to such, this level is by far more intelligent, and it's integrative by nature. Everyone, when you get to these levels, feels very close to everybody else.
I see.
Because the vibrations are high, the light is higher, but it's still, and the lower levels still exist there.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole purpose is to bring even the lower levels, you know, they're like lagging behind, but they also have to climb up.
But these people who exist in lower levels, are you saying they exist in our reality or they exist in a different reality?
It's difficult to define what you mean by a reality. You know, I'll give you an example. I mean, if someone leaves your life
uh-huh.
and goes to Tombuktu, is he in your reality? No, he's not in your reality. You can call him and he will tell you what's going on in his life.
Okay.
Everybody is in their own reality anyway. It's a bubble of reality that we all carry.
Right.
And many bubbles get together. They form like a cluster, and that forms like a grouping of reality. And some many groupings get together and they form a certain dimension of reality.
I see.
You follow?
Okay. Yes. Now I understand. Now, and in fact, the reason why this conversation drifted in this space is because in our last conversation we talked about the personal bubble of reality. And when I
yes.
spoke to Neil Donald Walsh, I actually mentioned your name, and I asked him to comment on your theories of the personal bubble, and he said he completely agreed with you. Now, so what I want to ask is this, because this is an interesting concept. So let's say a couple right now want to be together, but have different desires. One wants to move to Jamaica, One wants to relocate in Florida, but they want to be with each other. Does their reality split so that the man, say, who wants to be in Jamaica, ends up in Jamaica with the woman in his own personal bubble, and the woman who wants to be in Florida, say, ends up in Florida with the man in her own personal bubble? Does that make sense?
No, I'm sorry to say. Repeat me that question again. Okay. I wasn't concentrating.
Yeah. I'm trying to understand what you mean by personal bubbles of reality.
Yeah,
go ahead. Can you create your own personal bubble of reality and pull in your partner, say, as a guest? So let's say two people have different, want to be together, but have different desires. One wants to live in Jamaica, one wants to live in Florida. Okay?
Yeah.
And they create their own individual realities where where in one reality they are living in Jamaica and in the other they are living in Florida.
No.
No?
Well, no and yes. No, because if you're asking if two people are living together,
right,
the two realities and then merge into a cluster, okay, in a grouping, right? And they're interacting through that grouping. There is a strong energy exchange that operates through that grouping.
Mm-hmm.
If they split from each other, then the bubbles stay the same anyway. We only experience our own bubble, but the bubbles go to a different. He's not going. You're asking me if he's going to find a copy, clone of his.
Exactly.
No. But no. But you can have forks in creation. That's where you enter the parallel universes. You can have forks in creation.
Mm-hmm.
Here we're only explaining what happens within the mind. But the mind of Adam is a creator. Adam is a creator, a super creator.
Okay.
If Adam at a high level of himself, it doesn't have to be Adam, the core of Adam himself, but it could be sub-parts of himself, very high parts of himself, decide that they want to re-experience a situation in a different way, or they want to experience a situation in two different ways, they can create either a re-experiencing of a situation at any point of what we think is space and time. So you could be projected in any points in history, like you go into a virtual reality computer and suddenly you're there. And they project into it. That's almost like an analysis, you know, because maybe things didn't work out the way they wanted it to work out, and they'd make another attempt to improve on the situation. To make it work better. You understand?
Right.
Or what they can do is that while we are walking the path of the earth, there are points of this disconnection where from one entity to split.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you remember having made the decision to marry Mrs. such and such, but in reality there is another you that continued for another 2 years and married somebody else, and then there's a whole total different life that starts from that point on. You won't know about it. But your higher self will and is, because your higher self is connecting to both of you. So sometimes you may wake up in the morning, and that may happen to many of our listeners, being depressed, and they said, I have no reasons to be depressed. It's because some of your parts that you're connected closely to are having a bad moment at that moment.
That is deep. So you're saying we exist in multiple realities.
Yes. The important parts. It's not our choices. If you are an important character in this creation, someone that's interesting to the higher realms, there's a high chance that they will split you. If you're just, I'm sorry to say, but I hope nobody's going to laugh, Joe the Plumber, the most probably they're not going to copy you many times.
That is interesting. So then what Neil Donald Walsh is saying about Obama and McCain is true. McCain is living in two realities. In a current reality, he is not the president or the president-to-be, but in another reality, he is the president-to-be.
That is possible, yes.
Wow.
They could have been a split that night, and the world changes totally differently. You could have a world president being elected.
Now, what you just said was really, really, really profound. Can you explain the current situation the world is in right now? Why are we in such a messy world?
Because I'm going to give the example of that triangle again.
Mm-hmm.
Our whole focus in this creation is very dislocated, is very dysfunctional, because we either focus across one another, meaning that we only believe in this plane, and we think that we can only solve problems through this plane. Mm-hmm. And there are other people who believe there is a creator, and do not focus on the unity on this plane as much as they focus on their unity with their creator. So it's a little bit like a cross. If you look at a cross, mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the cross is somehow imperfect, like the Christian cross, because there's more distance between us and the top than there should be. So a lot of this, one is more like you could call the right in the United States. The other one will be more the left. Mm-hmm. They think the solution comes across. What they're missing, both sides are missing, is that the union of a being has to be done on all the planes, and especially on this plane. But the key in order to do it on this plane is to focus on the creator, mm-hmm. but not in a religious way, in a perceptual way. Because mm-hmm. the religious way is not a perceptual way. It's a story. It's a, it's a program. Mm-hmm. In order to the perceptual way, you have to connect within, because that point of unity, where you then change and become more connected to the one across, or you get a higher level of intelligence and of inspiration for what you need, mm-hmm. that point of unity is within yourself. It's mm-hmm. not outside. It's not in the church. It's not in the synagogue. It's not in a temple or a mosque. Mm-hmm. So we have to go within as much as we can and then connect to that point. And at that point, we get what we need in order to be able to let go of the polarization that we have in this world. The problem with this world right now is that it's fully polarized everywhere.
I see.
It's always running 50-50. 50 on the right, 50 on the left, 50% men, 50% woman, 50% this and 50% that. And all those groupings are attacking themselves, you know, ferociously. I mean, they're really going at it, and they don't have a global higher perspective of what this is all about. And they don't understand, in reality, what we are experiencing now is an attempt by the Creator to teach us that we are not to resolve our strifes, our problems, right across each other. That's not going to happen. It can't happen just like that. In other words, all the old structures that used to solve problems or resolve fractures in our creations are not working anymore, and they will be proven more so now than ever to be totally failed. Mm-hmm. And we are going to need to literally invent brand new structures, not from total scratch, but close to it. So whenever you see people now that are going to come to you and say, well, we have to go back to the way it used to be 20 years ago. Some people are telling you back, we have to go back to the way it used to be 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago. Look at the way. Just that's not going to work, because this is an era. It's past. It's gone. And none of this is going to happen. We need now totally new structures, because those at these times, the world was much more isolated into smaller and smaller groupings. This is an integrative process now. It's not only integrating European, former European battling groups into a United States. This is about uniting the world here. This is a much bigger task. We are about to unite the whole world.
So can you give me some examples of what you believe is about to happen? Trends that you are seeing already happening that is perhaps moving us towards this form of unity?
Yeah, well, you know, we've been predicting since 1998, as a matter of fact, on our website, that there will be the total demise of what we call the financial system, and even in the so-called war against terror and so forth, that none of the tools that we are used to use so easily, or military prowess, would be able to overcome the situations we are facing right now. Mm-hmm. And this is happening in front of us. And then we have a much greater and bigger problem that's looming behind us, and no one is really paying attention. And listen to my word, because this is going to happen in the relatively near future, which is the environment. The environmental crisis is going to be by far bigger than the economical collapse or financial crisis. All those crises and all those collapses are gifts given to the children by the Creator, so that they realize that they are all part of one one entity, one being, and that you cannot separate them by color, you cannot separate them by gender, you cannot separate them by language, you cannot separate them by culture. Thank God they're different, because otherwise it would be a boring place. Mm-hmm. And you cannot separate them by religion. They're all one. They're all part of that same Adamic being. And then that being is trying to reunite itself within all of his parts. And especially he wants also those parts to respect and reunite with Mother Nature, with the environment that they live in.
I see.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So, Gerald, are you saying that the current global financial crisis is really a gift from higher intelligence to remind us of our interconnectedness?
Yes, because we couldn't do it otherwise. We would have never done it otherwise.
Okay, but we're still not doing it. But when you say higher intelligence, are you talking about, here's where, again, what you're saying is inconsistent with some other teachings from some other gurus, and which is great, which is good. We want to be able to hear alternate views, but I want to push a little and try to understand this further. Many other gurus claim that there is no such thing as a God who dictates what is about to happen to humanity, that really whatever we experience are based on our own internal choices. So who is this higher intelligence that you're talking about?
Okay, there are two movements in creation.
Okay.
It's like a heart. Mm-hmm. If you want, the creator operates exactly like a heart. It pulsates out, uh-huh. or like a breath. It pulsates out as much as it can, and then it separates. When it's pulsating out from the dot, from the point, mm-hmm. you get this gigantic separation into multiple beings. And then when the separation has gone as far as it can go, mm-hmm. then there is a reversal whereby the pulsation goes within, and then the being starts recontracting his himself, taking all the beings closer and closer to his perception. Mm-hmm. And the core of the heart is the center of it. You follow?
Right.
So at the center you have the one. At the periphery you have, of course, the many. Mm-hmm. As long as we were in an expansion process in creation, mm-hmm. there was on purpose, in order to get interesting separative plots, the one will allow the many, the children, if you want, to play on their own and have in their perception free will. It's a little more complicated than that, but in their perception they have free will, and they don't perceive the existence and certainly not the presence of their source. They don't perceive it yet. As they start getting closer, it's like if you take a heart or a ball and you get closer to the center, and the energy of the center is so powerful, you need to perceive it. There's no way you cannot not perceive it, because that's where it's like gigantic, not only intelligence, but energy. And as you get closer to it, everybody starts perceiving it. And by that, it changes you. It changes your biology. It changes your way of thinking. It changes your intelligence. So it's not so much that until now you could not perceive God because we were not in an energy field that was close enough to the core of it. But as we are now starting to recontract, all of us, many of us are already perceiving it, and then more and more of us will perceive it. And as they start perceiving it, nobody is going to even question if there is a source or a creator.
Wow.
And that source and creator is going to be known to transmit information. As a matter of fact, there will be a realization that all of the information we get comes from that source. That, of course, is modulated, is changed through our intelligence, because we cannot, we still have to say our word and write our lines and sing our songs. Mm-hmm. So we modulate that at our level. But the source is coming in, and that's the big change that's happening now.
So what you're saying
is... That's what I'm saying now. This is the crucial, most crucial point. It's the point where the expansion is gone as far as it can go, and now we're starting to recontract. That moment of when we have to stop the expansion and bring it back to a contraction is exactly what we are living now. And it's a very difficult process, because most people don't understand it. They don't perceive it because it's so new. It hasn't happened for eons. I'm talking about eons, not only in this creation, for eons of creations. So it's and then we are all facing it, and no matter what we do, we're still within the being. Nobody exists outside of God, because they can't. They die. They wouldn't exist. There is only one. So that whole being is starting to recontract. The heart is starting to recontract.
Wow. So what you're saying is that...
And the focus now, when you recontract, the focus is towards the interior now. You know, like we turn around. Before, the focus was from the inside to the outside. Now it's from the outside to the inside. It's an inversion.
Okay. So let me try to string this together. What you're saying is the period in history that we are in right now represents a period where we have expanded, we have separated about as far as we can get, and we are now about to reconnect. Yeah. And what we as physical beings perceive to be a financial crisis, a global economic meltdown, environmental disaster, are simply stepping stones towards helping us understand our own connectedness. And you also seem to be saying that we're about to enter a new era where perhaps we are going to become more conscious of our individual, or of not an individual, but our group oneness.
Our group oneness, and we will become conscious of the Creator inside of you. You'll know it. Like if you put your finger into an electrical plug and tell me if you don't feel the electricity, you'll know it.
That is beautiful, Gerald. Once again, for Gerald, we're gonna let's go on to the next series of questions. In the next 20 minutes, as we wrap up, what we're gonna talk about is advice that you want to give our listeners on the best way for them to deal in this current reality. Okay. Gerald, so at this point, what I'd like to talk to you about is advice on how your listeners, everyone listening in right now, how can we adjust our thought patterns to cope in this particular era of reality?
Well, the first thing I would try to tell you, which is the hardest thing, is to flush the toilet. I mean, we've been loaded, not only since birth, but since eons in this creation, with systems and belief systems and lores and stories and newer stories and older stories and societal restrictions that really, it's a miracle we are even able to do anything nor operate. Anything that you take in, anything, just loads your being. I mean, it makes an imprint. It stays there, and it likes staying there. And it starts taking on a life of its own. And if there's more people around you that believe in the story that you believe on, then you keep on energizing it together. It becomes tremendously energized. You know, even though it's a small program, that program is like resonating with vibration. And it's not necessarily helpful. So I think that, you know, it's like any cleansing program. We all have to undergo a cleansing, and it's not easy. You know, the cleansing requires doing without many of the things that we thought we needed. And many of these programs have been with us for so long that we feel comfortable with them, even though they make us feel miserable. You'd be surprised how many people like to be miserable because they feel comfortable with that feeling. And so it's a good time now to have a higher, more individualistic approach to this. Look at reality from a higher level, and really almost making a list as to what do we really want to keep and what we don't want to keep. And if you don't want to keep something, it's a decision. You have to go, and you really have to face your higher self within, and you ask for that particular program or belief system or past story or karma or injury that you had. It could be a physical injury, it could be an emotional, it could be any kind of injury, to be removed from your system, de-energized. And the worst thing you can do is to energize it. So don't go to a psychologist because he will re-energize it. Don't talk about it. Don't even talk about it. The more you talk about it, the more you energize it. Just ask for it to go to the inner light of the one, because when it goes, it's taken in. That light has no separation. There is no story that survives there. It all disappears.
So you
have to take those programs out.
Gerald, can you give us... A concrete example.
A concrete example.
Yes.
Let's say people that have had a fear or something, or underwent a very traumatic experience. I think we mentioned like soldiers who came back from wars. People that have been in concentration camps. They've done studies on them, and they realized they thought that they could do psychotherapeutic sessions with them, where they would express and relive again the event that they undergone, and then this would cause an abreaction, and that there would be an emotional release, and then the second one would be of a lesser degree, and so forth. And that's been proven pretty much to be a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're doing is that you are bringing what by nature, by the way the Creator created us, by nature should be buried very deep in our subconscious. It does not affect us so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we're bringing it to the light of our awareness. You understand? We are like a flashlight. Everything we look at gets energized.
That is a beautiful imagery.
Yes, and it's not an imagery. It's reality. Our consciousness is like a flashlight. You carry imagine carrying a flashlight on top of your head,
mm-hmm.
and anything you look at is energized, not only on the outside but also on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you so when you put your attention, your focus on something that you are afraid of, something that has hurt you, and you think about it, you keep energizing that particular story, that particular memory, or that particular representation.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something beautiful, happy, and something that you should energize, then please go ahead. It's wonderful. But if it's something that's been painful, and or is of no service to you anymore, do not think about it. Don't just ask for it from a higher level, yourself, not you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is by far more intelligent than anybody that you can find on this planet, to just take it out in the light,
mm-hmm.
and it will be done. But we are co-creators, and as co-creators, we can command. It's very important to command this. You give a command.
Mm-hmm.
So you command that particular memory to be taken out. Same thing with systems. If you believe, if you see a certain system, if it's a healing system, if it's a financial system, if it's an operation system of any sort, and you starting to realize that it's not operative, let it go. Let it go. There will be other systems that are going to come. They will be gifted. They're always gifted anyway. They might not look anywhere near the old type of system or operation that you had, but these are the systems that are meant to be and arrive during this new period that we are engaging in now. And they'll be gifted.
I see.
So we have to do this now. We have to stop, because the old world is dying in front of our eyes, and it's basically all the all the walls of this world are collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to realize it first. Most people are in shock. They think this is going to be a question of only a couple of months, a couple of years. We will never be in the old world again. Not us, not our children, not our grandchildren.
What are some of the trends? What are some of the trends that we should expect in this new world and be prepared for?
The main trend is going to be that anything, and this is the key, anything that will be based on a desire to unite,
mm-hmm.
with others.
Mm-hmm.
and a desire to share,
mm-hmm.
will be successful. And any endeavor that will still remain based on a fear of the other, and then therefore on the desire to separate, will basically self-implode and get destroyed,
mm-hmm.
as we see now. This is not an explosion, it's an implosion.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is imploding. So any system of thought, of operation, that's in creation, and that we're applying in creation, that's based on separation still, and then has an element of fear, of doubt, and does not see the unity of us all,
mm-hmm.
will not succeed. And that's not only us as humans, it's us as humans versus nature too. We are one with nature too. We have to be extremely respectful of the fact that we are not only are we one with nature, but we are the steward of nature. Because soon, the next crisis, again, I'm telling you, is not going to be economical or financial. It's going to be a gigantic ecological crisis. And we are going to be really in a state of shock then, when this happens. And no one is going to deny that we caused it. It's not an accident.
But what you're essentially saying is there is nothing to fear. The financial model will break down. There will be an environmental crisis. but these are simply stepping stones towards a better, more interconnected reality.
Correct.
And that we are really moving into a better, more joyful time.
We can't even compare. We're moving into paradise.
Now,
we originally came from paradise, then we went into what you could call hell, which is more or less where we got to lately, and now we're stepping back into the original state of man, the original story of Adam. We're going back into the paradise, because we're going back to that perception of being close to the source, and we can act as the source, as the images of the source.
Angelo.
So this is not going to happen overnight. Again, this is a long process, but this is the direction towards which we are all going to.
And it's definitely a very comforting message as we wrap up this interview. I have a question for you, Gerald. When you emailed me today and we were scheduling this interview, the signature line of your email, and you have this often, it says, happy thoughts. What do you mean by happy thoughts, and why is this so important?
Okay, because the key to high vibrations is happiness. They cannot, if you go to a very high level of the Creator, there is a innate perception of peace, pure peace. It's like a rock of peace. I can't explain it, but it's like being inside a rock, solid light, where only peace can coexist. There is no separation, there is nothing else. And at the same time, there's a tremendous level of happiness. If the separative parts have very low vibration, it's kind of dark, and they're certainly not at peace, and they are unhappy, they're depressed. That's what we call depressed. You know, you're depressed, you go low, you know, everybody tells you, how are you feeling today? I feel down. Why are they down? Because they're not on a lower vibration. And if they're not down, they go to a higher vibration, and they get high.
Right.
Now, I'm not telling people to take substances, I'm telling them, get high on the light. Right, it's a good idea, because it's available and it's free. And we can all do that. So basically what I'm saying is right now is that they have to understand that in the future, as long as they put their focus, their light, because we all have this little light in front of us, in our, what you could call the third eye, inner light.
Uh-huh.
If you focus your attention onto the One, there is an automatic connection that's made between you and the One. And I'm talking about the One inside. There's an automatic connection that's made between you and the One. And your guidance does not come anymore from Dad, from Time Magazine, from some advisor on this plane, or even some spiritual advisor on higher planes. It comes straight from the One. And at that level, you are protected. I mean, you're going to know that you're protected, and you're going to walk in the middle of those gigantic storms knowing that you're protected and everything is fine. And you will be shown the way out, because that's what we're here for. We're not here to be destroyed. There's no destruction meant for anybody really here. It's just a lesson.
Beautiful. I love that, Gerald. That's a wonderful, beautiful, positive image to paint of the world that's about to come. And I know many of our listeners who are listening in probably are thanking you for that, as opposed to a lot of the fear and guilt and dread that is circulating out there. Now, again, once again, as we wrap up this interview, if any of you would like to learn more about what Gerald teaches, and Gerald is an amazing and a wonderful teacher, you can learn more by going to aboutgerald.com, and there you'll see that there is a special offer on Gerald's program on remote influencing. Once again, it's an advanced course, so I would only recommend this for people who have spent some time really studying material. I mean, if you are just introduced to concepts such as the law of attraction, this may be a little bit too shaky for your current level of consciousness. Gerald, once again, thank you so much for being with us. And as usual, it's mind-blowing every time we have a conversation. And I appreciate the way you shake up people's perception of reality, and you're not afraid to challenge and say things that you feel might necessarily offend people. So I appreciate your honesty and your directness.
Thank you. Thank you, and lots of happy thoughts to all of you.
And to everyone else listening in. Thank you, everyone.
Everyone.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.